Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes,
yippee,
is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products on 1010XL. Now your hosts, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, and Blythe Brumley.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Last week, we were celebrating a victory. This week, we're celebrating anything other than
a new day.
What happened on Sunday. Everyone knows the stats. The Jags allowed the most points in franchise history. And the other team, a.k.a. Donna's team, and I'm not going to hold that against her, they didn't even punt until... Oh, wait, no, never.
No punt,
they never punted. The only time
Brady,
they didn't score. Correct, yeah. I just wanted to drag that out. So let's get into it right here, right now. Our thoughts on how it went down and I guess how we would feel about the future. Blythe, let's start with you. Where'd you watch it?
I watched it at a friend's house.
Okay.
I was going to watch it out at Hoptinger, which is the official like Bold City Brigade away game viewing bar. But I knew the game probably wasn't going to go well.
You
and
cry
I
in
don't
public?
Do well in those situations. No, I haven't cried at a football game in a long time. Now that I think about it.
I think we talked about that before.
We have.
Yeah.
Is it okay to cry during a sporting event?
Yes, it is okay to cry. But I did not cry this past Sunday. I was kind of the most level-headed, I think, out of the group. My brother in particular was really depressed about it. I'm like, what did you expect? I mean, I think the game was close, and we kept it there up until the half. And that when the interception happened right before, I'm like, oh, then, you know, that's where it starts going downhill from here. And, you know, the little bit of excitement I think you had was deflated, for lack of a better word.
Now, that's actually the perfect word to use in that situation. Amanda, you were celebrating a friend's birthday, right? So it couldn't have been that depressing.
I wasn't. I'm not sure where you got that, but I wasn't.
Instagram.
Oh, well, I posted a photo for it, but she doesn't live here. Sorry, I was so confused.
I was like, oh, they're hanging out. That's cute.
Yeah, she's stalking again.
How is it stalking?
I'm joking.
I know. Your friend's account.
I'm joking. No, that was an old photo, so sorry for the false depiction of my Sunday afternoon. I was indeed watching the Jags game in my apartment, not out.
I thought you looked great for the record.
Thank you. That was actually on my last night in Tampa, like months ago. So I hope I still look as good. Anyway.
Absolutely.
I did have friends text me, though, and they're like, this isn't even fair. Why are the Jags even playing this team? And they're outsiders to Jacksonville. So it's just interesting to hear other people be like, what the heck? Like, why are they even playing the Patriots? But, you know, the whole week, even being around the team, I would ask players, hey, so this is a big game. Like, what's your mindset? How are you feeling going into this game? Oh, you know, it's just like any other week. We're just going to go in there and do what we can. And I even asked a couple players off the record. I'm like, dude, this is not like any other week. Just be honest with me. Like, what? And they would still kind of be like, I mean, it's just like, you know, we just do what we do. So they're kind of trained. Plus, you don't want
they're
to
kind of
say exactly. You also don't want to say out loud. It's one of those things where, like, when you're in denial, you don't want to say out loud, well, we're probably going to lose, but we have to go and play anyway. So, I don't know. I obviously wish that the game would have been closer. The injuries thing is what got me, because my one main concern going into Foxborough was, please, we already have so many injuries, I don't want any more. And, of course, they left with a few more injuries. Now they have 14 injured players on the roster, which is just terrible. But I don't know. I'm kind of with Blythe. I kind of expected that.
Hello.
Hi, hey. Donna.
Look, I actually was so pleased with how Jacksonville did in a couple of things. They held Gronk to zero touchdowns. They were all over him. Zero touchdowns. He just got over 100 yards. That's a huge accomplishment. Huge. And they sacked
for a team that doesn't traditionally cover tight ends, absolutely.
No, for a team that hasn't been able to cover Gronk. No yeah. team yet.
Sure.
And I know that's only the third week. But Gronk has made it known that he is ready to break all tight end records this year. He is on his way. That's his main focus. And nothing. They held him to nothing. Mm-hmm. So fantasy owners, they must be so pissed at the Jags. And I love that. Love that. I also love that they got to Brady. They sacked him twice. They got to him, rushing him, getting to him. That, to me, those are the two factors that I walked away saying, bravo, good for you guys. Because those were the two things that were the main focus. You got to get to Brady, and you got to, you know, contain Gronk. They
didn't work.
No. It didn't work, though. Well, you know, and it's, in the end, Brady's Brady, and he has multiple weapons, no matter if you pick somebody off the bench or whatnot. They're going to make it work. Mm-hmm. But I was so pleased. And for them to walk away, you can't look at the score. Just the score doesn't, to me, doesn't reflect how they played. It just doesn't. And for them to now go and face Indy, everybody in the division is 1-2. You shouldn't be depressed. There's nothing to be upset about, you know? There's nothing to be upset. Everybody's even. It's like a brand new season next week.
It's a very winnable division.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the only positive to take away from the game, because I thought everybody did not play well. I was going to say something else there.
Look, one stat that really stuck out to me was, you know, we always get the rundowns, the game recaps via email. And the one thing that stuck out to me was, out of all of the active players on the roster, only one did not play. And yep. That was Chad Henne. That's it. One active player did not play.
Oh, is that good or bad?
That's bad.
The injury.
Yeah, but I mean, bad. Those are all the injuries you have. That's mm-hmm. He was the only person that didn't play, and you got 17 points. You sacked Brady. You held Gronk. I think if you pick apart little things, okay, we're not probably so mm-hmm. bad. You can't look at the score.
No, we got that last touchdown in garbage time, so I don't really even count that, to be honest.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, if you look at the score from last week with Buffalo and New England, you know, Buffalo came back. New England didn't play, you know, four quarters, and that was the whole thing. And Belichick and his presser couldn't have praised Jacksonville and Gus Bradley more. He doesn't normally do that. He can say, yeah, we're all... You know,
that's because
Dubai,
they don't take
this.
The Jaguars seriously.
No,
so he
not.
Feels totally comfortable being like, oh, yeah, they're awesome. We love them.
Negative.
Can we play them every week?
No, not at all. He can sit there and say, well, you know, there was a good team, and we're on to the bye week, and then it's on to Dallas. You know, that's all he has to say, and that's all he usually does say.
And but they're on to murder the Colts.
He praised. Yep. He just praised Gus Bradley and how tough the team played, and they played every minute, and... I was very pleased. I wasn't
the only one I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're pleased. I just think it's hard to come away with a smile on your face when you see all of the factors. So if they had all of their starters, it makes me wonder, would the game have been closer? Maybe. But you're right, you can't look at the points, but at the same time, they went in there knowing it was a challenge and the fans knew it'd be a challenge too, but I mean, Patriots scored on every single drive.
And, you know, but if you, at the end of the year, you'll probably see the majority of points will be in the 40s or 50s, I'm guessing. We're going to see if they score maybe 60 on Indy in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is. But it's just, I mean, that's how I look at it. I look at it, they contained Gronk, they held him to 101 yards, only 4 receptions, and they sacked Brady twice. To me, those are two big things.
Well, I've got some big things, and I'm going to save them for when we come back, because I probably couldn't disagree with certain things more. So stick around for that. We will get to so many different topics tonight. You are listening to Helmets and Heels on 10th and X on 82.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels with Donna, Blythe, Amanda, and me. I'm Lauren. And we are about to get back into a little bit more discussion on the Jags. But first, I want to say thank you to Dreamfinders Homes for being so supportive of our show. We sincerely appreciate it. And we will be back out there October 27th, I believe, if someone...
Halloween!
Florida Georgia Week, too!
Yes, it is Florida Georgia Week. It is also a UNF soccer game on Florida Georgia and Halloween.
And Jason Aldean, is that what you said?
Jason Aldean does play the Thursday before Florida Georgia,
oh, you're right.
And then the Friday before Florida Georgia, if I can get it out correctly, is the band Perry and
Ooh.
One of my favorite of all time actors that know, I mean actors,
musicians that nobody knows is Corey Smith, C-O-R-E-Y.
Oh, I bet he's played in Tallahassee before.
He's played in Gainesville. He's been in Tallahassee.
Everybody
he always plays
about Corey,
here.
Well, not
yeah,
people
yeah,
Corey
no,
Smith.
A lot of people don't know about him though.
He's not
that
my
listen
favorite.
To major radio. He's not your favorite?
Mm-mm.
Oh, right.
That.
Well,
I don't know why.
And there you have it. No,
sorry.
He's actually a Bulldog. When he used to play before Florida Georgia, he would play a lot of times and, you know, sing. He has a song that has a lot of Georgia parts to it. And so whenever I listen to that song, I think it's 21. It is. So I turn down the part where he says Georgia and I sing Florida and then I turn it back up after.
Oh, hell.
You're so smart.
I know, right? No, I don't know that I'm smart. I think I'm just completely and totally focused on my own team. All right.
Says so, the lady in bright orange today.
Yes, which we'll get to that in just a little bit. All right. So my thoughts on the Jags. I thought our team has never looked worse in a second half. When we played in London against the 49ers, that game from start to finish for me will probably be the worst of this Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell era, because start to finish for me, that game was pathetic. This game was a little bit different. In the first half, we absolutely had a chance. Blake obviously throws that pick right before the halftime and loses a lot of the momentum that we had gained. And then I felt like everyone in every sports bar, every house watching that game looked over at each other and said, the Patriots are getting the ball in the second half. And it was complete and total, almost like devastation and prediction of the fact that you know what's about to happen. We're about to get reamed. And watching, I felt so bad for the defense because watching them, it looked like these guys who play with nothing but heart and sweat, blood, tears, all that stuff. Our defense normally is amazing to me. And I watched them specifically just kind of hands on the hips, like, what do we do? They almost looked at each other like
deer in headlights.
Like, I'm playing as hard as I can and I'm making the same plays that I've always made and I'm following the same assignments that I've always followed. And I'm not getting there. You know, they play that zone and they play a little bit off the ball and every single time the Patriots receiver caught it. So that, of course, is a nod to the Patriots. That wasn't just the Jags. We drop balls.
But it was also
they
coaching,
don't.
Like make adjustments.
That's
you're playing zone
say.
And it's not working, do something.
But
about
I
it.
Feel like they don't have the talent right now with players like practice squad Peyton Thompson and nothing
right.
against him, but
right.
they don't have the talent right now to be able to play man. And that's the frustrating part because as a fan, you sit there and you're like, we are giving this everything we have. I'm watching them try. You know, Ryan Davis got a sack. He wasn't sitting back and just going, well, it's over. However, their best effort wasn't even close to good enough. And I think that, to me, that was a game of, you know, in the far back of my mind, did I think we have a chance? No. Usually I say, absolutely, we can win every game. That was a game, no. However, I really did want to see how we stacked up against the Super Bowl champions. And to me, it was worlds of a difference. And that's the part that was so saddening is because going into the season, I thought, all right, we may not win the division. I don't know. You know, we'll see. Now it, of course, looks like maybe there's a better chance. But are you serious? Like, we can't even compete with that type of a team.
Mm-mm.
And I know that injuries play a factor, but you have to look at it across the board. Injuries play a factor with every team.
It's next man up. And I looked at some of the stats across the league, and it's about 15% of the league starters are injured right now. But that is consistent with the last few years
exactly.
of the league. So you have to – it's that next man up mentality and that every other – not I don't want to say every other team seems to overcome, but the big dogs of the league always seem to overcome that. And we – year three into this rebuild, I don't know of a single player that has been developed and is improving on a consistent basis. I can't name one player.
I just don't get the gap. Like, the NFL isn't built like that. That was like a college football game when it's week one and you pay Wofford to come in and...
All the Wofford fans out there are furious
sorry,
with me right
I'm
now.
Sorry, when it's like Wofford against Ohio State and you're just like, oh, well, we know this is just a shot in the can. It was just mind-boggling to me that they were so far off. I think I saw a headline today that when you put the Patriots and the Jaguars and you compare them, there's a canyon in between them. Like, that's just how big of a gap there is. And it's crazy.
How much do you think that coaching plays a role in this? I've heard some pretty stark comparisons. I would say throw Jim Harbaugh out there for an example. I mean, look at...
No, listen.
49ers are in shambles right now.
Yeah, but they let go of half their defense.
But the same players... Jim Harbaugh is up in Michigan right now. Same players as Brady Hoke last year, and he's 3-1. You got to look... coaching plays a role in this game, and I think the next... I don't know that this game decides Gus Bradley's career in Jacksonville, but the next three games, they certainly do, as far as his future.
Are you saying if you're saying coaching in a factor against coaching against Bill Belichick, you can't compare it. You have to wait to see if they lose next week, because Indy looks like due. They look like do.
But the only team we beat, it doesn't look
good
at all.
No, and that'll be brought up.
That's the scary part.
That'll be brought up when comes.
We're like half and two.
And that was the same thing with the Miami game. We played stellar in the first half. I don't want to say we played stellar against the Patriots, but we played well in the first half. And then you come out in the second half against Miami and you have 5 straight punts.
Mm-hmm.
It's coaching has to play a role in this somehow, and I don't know what players that we've developed that are going far beyond our expectations or even that another team has to game plan for. I don't know of one.
I would say the only one that comes to mind that another team would want to grab off of our team immediately would be like a Telvin Smith, the linebacker. I would say that every other team looks at him and says, I want that kid on my team. Regardless of the fact that he came into the league way undersized, he has proven that his speed can way overcome everything else, and the fact that he's strong innately and makes plays that you wouldn't expect that position necessarily.
But he's not a difference maker. You know, there's no difference makers on our team like a Gronk, like a Larry Fitzgerald.
Not yet, offensively.
I would say he absolutely is a playmaker defensively.
What happens when Julius Thomas, what happens when you do have a healthy team?
And that was my complaint.
That's a fantasy for every team in the NFL. You're never going to go injury free. It's next man up. How deep is your team? And can you step into that role? If you can't step in that role, then get somebody else.
Yeah, they haven't, their so-called farm system, they don't have it. Jacksonville doesn't have anybody that can pop in. You know, like if you look at New England, there's Edelman, Amendola, there was Welker. They the same person. They just put him in the uniform and he goes out there.
Well, I think to your point, as far as Gronk not scoring any touchdowns, to me it was like Gronk didn't have to. He got some really big yardage on some big plays. And then they know that he's probably going to be double teamed and they can look around and go, oh, there's Edelman. Oh, there's Amendola.
I know.
Oh, there's that other tight end. I don't even know his name. To me, Frank asked us the question, how did you get through the game? My response, I didn't watch the fourth quarter.
Me too.
I got through the third quarter. We turned on the radio, walked outside, and I was like, I can't watch the rest of this.
I didn't watch.
No offense. Like, they're trying hard. I'm not saying that they weren't. However, like, I physically couldn't watch it anymore because there wasn't anything possible to give you hope. And that's when I have to take myself back because I'll keep getting frustrated.
Right. It's the same old song. It's somebody online said the other day that if you as a fan are watching this game and you're not frustrated with where we are year three into another rebuild, then I question where you are as a fan.
Because
it's okay to demand more.
I completely agree. However, to grade the team based on how they play against Super Bowl champions, to me, you cannot do. Mm-hmm. Grade them against the Colts next week. Mm-hmm. Grade them against the Bucks. But you can't grade them against the Patriots because any other team would be terrible against them as well.
No, I agree with you. I had a friend at work today say, I don't understand this market in the media, especially he's like, week one, oh my gosh, the Jags are terrible. Week two, oh my gosh, the Jags are the greatest thing. Week three, oh my gosh, the Jags couldn't be worse, fire Gus Bradley.
Right.
And I was like, no, I agree with you. There's overreaction, not just in the fan base. There's probably overreaction in the media too, because we want so badly for this team to be good. So when they do get a victory, we just are ecstatic and beyond complimentary of the different positions and the coaches and everything. And in reality, it's this team didn't play very well week one. This team survived against a bad team week two, and this team barely showed up against the Super Bowl champions in week three. Okay, let's put that behind us.
Yeah.
Now we do have, to me, the biggest test and the most pressure, which will be on not just Blake Bortles and the receivers and the offensive line, which is still struggling as far as injuries go, and same with the tight end position, and same with Sendarek Marks on the defensive line, and the freaking secondary is destroyed, but you know what? You're going to have to deal with that. You're going to a division rival, and they look beatable. if they don't win or if they don't play well, I think that's basically the time that the fan base is going to look up and go, I'm done. I can't deal with this anymore. Should they? Not necessarily. It's not over. Season has plenty more games. But I think there's a valid reason if the fan base does it at that point.
These next three games are going to be the biggest test of the big three. And I say the big three and Dave and Gus and Blake. And that's going to determine their future in this town, I believe.
I still keep sighing because it gets me to the point where on Saturday, so high, so happy. Just, you know.
Why? Because your team barely won?
Because my team found a way to win against a team that was better than them. And there's nothing better than finding a way in the darkest, direst of circumstances.
I will take that.
Against a team that's better than you.
I only say that because, and if
look at her, Patriots fans, no, just no, mug
no,
over
no, no,
there.
No, because
did you watch the game, Donna?
I did.
Okay,
I did watch the game, but I watch it with more disdain for. If my neighbors are listening, I'm sorry, but for them, obnoxious
what kind of
Gator
fans. Oh, Gator fans.
Obnoxious Gator fans. So I wish, for all I can, that they have a horrible week, and I hope I hear yelling and screaming next door, because it's bad. That's the only reason why.
All right, you know what? We will get
You don't need to ask my opinion.
We will get to some college football next. I have a quick story I want to tell about Amanda Borges. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Oh, gosh.
She's adorable, and I love her. And I will tell a quick story about her as we return. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL on 82.5 FM.
Put on your high heel sneakers. Put your wig hat on your head.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Snap that wig right on your head. My songs are not the only songs here. I feel bad taking up all of, you know, the time.
There are we can deal with Elvis. It's fine.
I mean, there's not a song that's much more appropriate than high-heeled sneakers. Because I would say that a majority of events that we do, people look down at our feet and they want to judge immediately. Like, wait, or at least see immediately, are they wearing heels or no?
Oh. And thank you to the one guy. Do you remember when we were at the Southside Businessmen's Club?
I do.
That was last week. Right. Who
said,
so you guys, you know, can write those off. Right?
Yes.
Off your heels. I'm like,
he was like, all heel purchases should be able to be written off.
Yes.
Business purchases.
Don't tell me that.
Blythe's eyes
lit up because I need to go shoe shopping so bad.
Oh, you weren't part of that conversation.
No, I was not, but now that I know.
See? Lauren and I were like, thank you.
No, I was like, I hate shopping. I probably won't take advantage of that regardless. My mom loves shoe shopping, and so she always gets so excited, like, I need to go shoe shopping. Do you want to go? And I'm like, sure, can we have wine first or something? Like, at least, like, appease me? I don't know.
Wine.
All right, speaking of ladies events, join us. That's right. We will be at the Jaguars Meet Me at the 50 event. Special guest appearance by Michaela and Gus Bradley. Football-related topics, there's nothing better. And Q&A with Jaguars, coaches, and players, plus a Steinmart fashion show, along with a silent auction, live music and giveaways, and Susie Colbert, ESPN host, will be there. ESPN NFL host. So,
this is
Thursday, October 15th. For those who don't know, doors open at 5:30 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. That's the time I wake up. That's the time my alarm goes off on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's why that was in my head. Actually, it's like 5:20. But either way, the doors open at 5:30 p.m. And it is at the U.S. Assure Club West. So I hope you join us. We will be...
That'll be fun.
We will be lively. Yeah, we will be there. It'll be a blast. I got to be a part of it last year. So much fun. And really, you get to, a lot of times, ask questions that you wouldn't normally get to ask a lot of the fans, a lot of the female fans that may not normally get to attend stuff like this. It's awesome. So we hope you join us. Tickets are $75. And everything benefits in the Pink Boutique in Jack's Beach. It's on 3rd Street if you've never been before. And
which is for breast cancer.
Which is for Breast Cancer Awareness Month next month. You know, someone that's really close to us, Marcel Robinson, our TV camera video guru, who volunteers to help us out all the time. His mother passed away of breast cancer a few years ago. And so anytime I think of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I think of him. And then also my best friend who survived it this past year, who has three little ones, I always think of her as well. And so we want to do as much as we possibly can to benefit breast cancer research and awareness. All right, quick funny story about Amanda Borges. So Amanda texts me.
I'm really scared. I have no idea what she's about to say.
Amanda texts me on Friday and says, hey, where are you going to watch your game tomorrow? And I said, you know, I'm not sure yet. Still in the planning phases. Because, of course, as everyone knows, when you plan to watch a football game, there's a lot of different factors that come into play. There's going to be whether or not wherever you're watching has sound on. There's going to be whether or not wherever you're watching has fans of an opposing team. I'm not going to watch anywhere that there's Tennessee fans. It's a big game, obviously, for my team. We weren't supposed to win, all that, blah, blah, blah. So because Amanda, you know, is so sweet and I love her, she says, I want to watch somewhere fun. I translate that to, I don't want to watch at your boyfriend's house anymore because I've been there several times. It's not that fun. And also, I probably don't want to watch at your parents' house either. So let's go somewhere out.
I never said any of that.
No, but I translated let's go somewhere fun to being one of those.
Probably things. Translated.
Yeah, correctly. I probably did. So I say to everyone that I know wants to watch the game, let's go somewhere fun, you know, maybe like Mellow Mushroom or somewhere like that. So I call in advance, make sure they're going to have the sound on. They will. Which, by the way, funny story in addition to this, there's people sitting at the bar who asked for the wrong TV to be the wrong TV channel to be turned on. They asked it to be turned on to ABC. They're Gator fans. One's wearing a tiara. Let's not get into that.
Oh, it's here.
So
she was my favorite Gator fan of the bunch.
So I'm sitting there freaking out, and I'm like, hey, people, it's on CBS. Let's go. Let's go. It's like 3:25. Come on. So anyway, we get the channel changed. I finally can relax. Once it's on, not really. I'm still nervous. Got goosebumps, all that. So then Florida scores, right? Woo! Very happy, feeling good. Tennessee scores a touchdown. What does the blonde to my right, both right now and at the time, do? She cheers for Tennessee! In between me and my mom, who went to Florida, and my dad, who went to Florida. We're all there, super excited about my team. I literally almost asked her.
To leave?
Just to move to the side of the table so I didn't accidentally elbow or hit you in the face.
But I think I only cheered for Tennessee once.
You did. I think I may have given you a death
look. Yeah, I think I remembered that I was in the presence of real Gators, and I was like, maybe I should not do this.
Are there fake Gators?
Sure, there are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Bandwagon. Let's say bandwagon. Yes. Yeah, we've had the conversation of, you know, when you can cheer, when you can't cheer for a team. But
I think that was the only time.
It was the only time.
In fairness, I didn't wear any garnet. I didn't wear any gold. I wore black and beige. I was not in any sort of Florida State colors. I think I was a very well-behaved Seminole fan amongst a sea of Gators. It was driving me insane.
You absolutely were well-behaved besides that one incident. And secondly, she even said to my cousin who went to Florida State, she was like, I feel very outnumbered. And she's like, what do you mean? Like at our table? Like, what do you mean? She was like, there's so many Florida fans everywhere. Yeah. Ugh. But when your team is on a bye week, you do kind of go into that setting like, all right, I'm going to have to sit on my thumbs and just deal with it because I don't have my own team to cheer for.
No, but I did enjoy it. I actually, towards the end, I was like shaking. I was so nervous. And at that point, I obviously wanted the Gators to lose, but it was because it was such a close, crazy game that I was like so into this game. And afterwards, I was like, I just got so worked up, like it was my own team, but I was so into it.
And afterwards, my cousin's husband, Lonnie, was like, who played for Florida State, was like, I'm so disappointed in Tennessee. And I was like, can't you be happy for me? Like, it's my happiness that was riding on today.
But it doesn't work like that. No. You know that if the roles were reversed, you would be the same way.
I don't know. I'm one of those really nice people that, like, I would want you to be happy. Despite the fact how much I hate Florida State, I would hate for you to be at the end of the day like, I'm going home and I'm putting my face in a pillow.
Well, listen, we never said that we were upset that you were happy.
True.
I'd love for you to be happy. As long as the Gators lose, you can be happy all day long.
But that will never happen. That's the point. The other Amanda story I have to tell just really quickly.
Oh, my gosh. Why do I set myself up for these?
No, this one's easy. Amanda said orange looks good on no one. Like she said, she and Caitlin were like, literally, orange is a terrible color. It should be wiped off the face of the earth. Agreed. Meanwhile, orange stands for happiness. So in
Who told
honor,
you that lie?
No, it's true.
Isn't that yellow?
No, it's orange.
I'm pretty sure yellow.
It's orange. Orange is happiness.
Blue too. That's why I love companies.
Orange and blue.
Blue.
See,
not
their happiness.
Said orange, but blue.
So anyway, my whole point in telling this is, I wore orange today, Amanda, in honor of you, in homage to you. And it's an
orange. You know,
it is
you
orange.
Look beautiful, but I do not in orange. So we'll just, you can keep all the orange shirts. All of them.
But I did. I told my boss the story today after he complimented me. The moment I walked into our meeting, he said, wow, that color looks great on you. And then a random person at the Jack Sports Council, I walked up to check in, goes, wow, that's a great shirt. I love that color on you. And I'd never met her before. And I was like, I can't wait to tell my co-host this information.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Does that mean you don't like Ricky Fowler's outfits on Sunday?
I don't. I hate the color.
Let's not talk about Ricky Fowler. He didn't win the tournament, and therefore I did not win any money in my golf league.
No one cares about your fantasy teams, Lauren.
It's over. So, no, you're right. No one cares. All right. Ladies, let's skip all of my stories about Amanda.
Thank you.
We didn't skip them. I got into all of them. All right. Let's get to one of my favorite topics, actually. How do you deal with bad football losses? Jaguars fans and actually a lot of Gators fans have dealt with this very recently. Florida State fans a few years before that. And Patriots fans, I don't know the last time y'all were bad.
Super Bowl.
Seriously.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So, as a tendency, Americans will eat way worse than they should. In fact, losing fans added an additional 16% of saturated fat and 10% of calories to their Monday comfort binge. Americans who didn't live in an NFL city ate normally on Mondays. So, being a sports fan apparently is going to add some weight. How do you deal with a loss to your team? Man, I'll start with you.
I'm trying to think. So, my senior year at Florida State was the year before Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
So, we lost a few games. And obviously, you're sad. You're upset when you're leaving the stadium. But I don't ever remember being like on a Monday or a Tuesday, like, oh my gosh, I'm so depressed. I just want to sit in front of my TV and eat a whole carton of ice cream or gallon, whatever the heck it's called. I don't know. I guess I just kind of, whatever. I mean, I can't really do anything about it. I've never been as invested as I am in my teams. I'm never one that's so depressed I can't function because they lose.
Okay.
I ate really well on Sunday. I mean, we had chicken, we had all kinds of side dishes, and we ate very
well. That was
well.
During the game, right?
During the game, yeah. Right.
What about Monday?
Monday, no. During the weekends, especially during football season, I try to eat very well during the week and then sort of let loose on the weekends. But I will say that it's you're drinking a little more. And you're eating a little more when you're losing a little more.
Yeah, you keep going back to the fridge or the mini fridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like all you guys. I don't keep the depression going.
Right.
You know, I don't really get depressed. I get angry.
Yeah.
And when I get angry, I clean. So the house gets super clean. You know, after those two Super Bowls, it was like.
You're burning calories.
Yes. Yeah, I clean when I get angry. So.
Angry at just your sports teams or angry at your husband?
No, just. Angry. Like, I mean, it off. I don't want to see any celebration. Turn it off. Get away from me. I'm cleaning.
And avoid social media at all costs.
Twitter has been almost unbearable
these past few days.
Yeah, I pretty much avoid it. I'm a big fan of Twitter Monday through Friday, and then when it comes to weekend, I almost have to avoid it just because there's just an inundation of everyone tweeting the same thing.
Yep.
So I'll tweet something, but I don't necessarily go through my timeline.
Jokes. My jokes are always. I have to say, I loved your little Patriot
you hate that word.
Video that you tweeted out of the little girl getting her birthday.
That was really, really sweet, I thought.
So sweet. Ears.
Tears.
Eyes. Teared up right away. I'm like, that is so cute.
For those who don't know, last week, a little girl, she was 8 years old. It was her birthday coming up. Her mother surprised her with tickets and a Tom Brady jersey
to go see
the game. And whenever she's first opening up the package, and she looks and she's like, Patriots tickets? And then she just looks at her mother and she's like, you and me? And then she just starts crying and runs to her mom and gives her a hug. It was really, really sweet.
But rock on. She's a little girl, 8 years old, and all she wanted was to go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's
jersey
on, girl.
Pink, regular jersey. Yeah. And that's what really made my heart happy.
Speaking of.
What about you? Angry? Monday?
I'm trying to think. I had two salads on Monday. And
two
so,
salads.
Yeah, I did. I went to a burger place Monday night and I really wanted a burger, probably because of the loss. Mm. And I like went to the bathroom and like lifted up my shirt and I was like, yeah, we should probably get a salad.
What?
I'm just kidding. The seared tuna salad.
I do
really
that.
Good.
You don't do that? You don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's right. What? She showed off her six pack in her photo
shoot. I don't
think
anybody in this room needs to do that.
No.
Hey, we're all our own worst critics, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. True.
All right, so.
I'm staring at orange outfits.
So really,
right now.
None of us, are you?
I am.
They look better on, I think,
they're
brunettes
beautiful.
Than blondes.
These are beautiful.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yellows and oranges don't really look that great on blondes.
Yeah. All right, so earlier I mentioned that Papelbon got in a fight mm-hmm. in baseball, and I want to get to that as we return very shortly. You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010X on 92.5 FM, built by Dreamfinders Home.
We were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Smell the sea. Actually, if it's up to me, you're listening to Van Morrison. Not Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. So, Donna, you got the last song?
Yes.
This is probably my favorite song of all time. Of all time. Now, currently, if you ever hear Zach Brown, I've talked about this before, mm-hmm. their song Free weaves into the mystic, into part of their song, and I love Zach Brown so much that they're allowed to do that. And that's one of my favorite songs, especially of recent times. But Into the Mystic, oh, and I recently saw a shirt on Pinterest that had some of the lyrics, and I clicked on it, and this is the first time I've been on Pinterest in like 3 months, and I was like, it's a sign, I'm supposed to buy this.
It's a sign.
And it was sold out. I was like, come on.
Oh, I mean, I thought it was going to say, sign in, sign up, gotta go through hoops.
Yeah, no. all right, so obviously the most fighting that the four of us ever do is verbally, and it's usually, actually, it's always on air. I don't think any of us have ever disagreed off air, as a matter of fact. Have we?
If we disagree, I don't know, but we should maybe to like spice things up a little bit. So
we can make up on air.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be fun.
No, I'm all about it. I almost hit you on Saturday, as a matter of fact. So
see, there you go.
All right. So Jonathan Papelbon and Bryce Harper, two players on the Nats, they get into it a little bit. And it's because of the fact that Papelbon, who is a reliever, which, for those who don't know, that's a pitcher who comes in the last few innings to close out the game. He gets on Bryce Harper's case because Bryce is not sprinting when Papelbon thinks that he should.
Mm-hmm. But that's not where it originally started.
Give us more details, D-Murph.
Oh. Well, originally, Papelbon threw at Manny Machado, and Bryce yelled at him for that because he did it deliberately and said, well, that was dumb because now I'm going to get hit.
Oh,
that was the,
a little bit of backstory.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep.
But still, at the same time, like, who are you, Jonathan Papelbon? You played how many innings this year? And
so
you've
actually,
been with the Nats for that seconds.
That's the fun part of the story. Is so an MLB Network analyst who played 16 years in Major Leagues, Mark DeRosa, said you've played 63 innings this year, and then I'm going to skip ahead in his statement. You're top-stepping a guy who's played in 1,262 innings, who's hitting .336 with 41 homers, and is going to be the National League MVP. And you're questioning whether or not he goes to the post every day? That's tired, okay? You can look at this one of a few different ways. So, Amanda, what do you think? Who's right? Is anybody right? What should they do? Should they ever scuffle in their own dugout? Do you even care about baseball?
No, and no. Here's what I think. Okay?
Do they wear orange?
No.
No.
The Marlins do.
That's true.
They do.
And Blaylock looks good in orange as well because she's a brunette.
She's a brunette and she's a Gator, so that's why she can get away with that. I don't like fighting on the same team ever. So I know that they're human beings, so it doesn't really matter if you wear the same jersey/uniform. But I don't think he really has a firm ground to stand on with his anger. So, no, I don't think he should have fought.
Aggressively attacked,
yeah.
Bryce. Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm sure it was in the heat of the moment. I mean, that's kind of how all fights start.
I got a little bit of problem with it just because baseball's a different sport in that there are so many unwritten rules, and there's things that you do and you say at a certain time. And I think this situation would have been best served coming from the manager and not from somebody who shows up, you know, for maybe an inning every few days.
Right.
Bryce Harper is going to be the National League MVP. He plays every single inning for every single game. And if he's not running out first base, I mean, I get the gripe, but you take it up with him in the clubhouse. You don't take it up in the dugout. That was my biggest issue. But this is, it's also considering the source with Papelbon. He's a jerk. He's been a jerk everywhere he's played. He's the guy who famously, you know, grabbed his crotch towards the Phillies fans whenever they were rightfully booing him. And he was shipped off to the Nationals. And here he is causing trouble with arguably the one of the biggest stars of the league. And I think Papelbon just has to know his place. He's been suspended, I think, for the rest of the year.
Yes.
So I doubt he comes back in a National.
Four games.
Yeah.
Rest of the year always sounds so lame. Four games.
Well, he was suspended by Major League Baseball, I think, for throwing at Machado. Mm-hmm. And then the Nationals came back and said, well, we're just going to suspend you for the rest of the year. And so no pay, which I think is a good thing. And I doubt he comes back to the Nationals next year. I
mean, he's owed $11 million next year.
Wow. That's chump change in baseball. I mean, everybody's owed $10 million.
Yeah.
Pap has not been relevant since leaving Boston. He just hasn't. And I'm sorry. He hasn't. He did nothing in Philly.
Yeah, he made a little bit of
a little bit in Philly.
Which is
why because of why he's making the money. But he just really, and I'm sorry. I know he's a BK alum. He's from Jacksonville.
But he's a jerk.
But he is. He needs to take a step back and go through the filter, and he doesn't go through his filter in his head. But Matt Williams, the manager for Washington, should be, and I agree because I watched PTI today from yesterday, and they were on his case saying he should have been fired today. He should have been fired. There's no reason. That never should have happened. He clearly doesn't have the dugout. He doesn't have, you know, anything intact. So, but still, no. I mean, Bryce Harper was completely in his right to say, why did you throw at him? Now, of course, he knows he's the best player. Now I'm going to get hit.
Right.
And so, that can ruin my career potentially, you know, just depending on where he hits you.
It
yeah.
Could.
First time I watched the video, I thought, oh my gosh, Jonathan Papelbon, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. How on earth do you attack your own player like that? Then I read a little bit more and I thought, well, at the same time, I would be that person no matter how many innings I had played. If I thought a teammate wasn't playing as hard as they possibly could, I probably would say something to them. And in a female way, it might come off a little different. You know, hey, Blythe, I don't think that you show prepped that well this week, you
right.
know, like, but I would couch it in a way of like, hey, by the way, maybe next week, you know,
right.
think about this.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't come at you. I wouldn't come at you with my fist and be like, you
or
didn't show prep.
Before.
Yeah. Or choke
but
you.
Females
right.
handle confrontation yes. way.
Totally
up.
Agree.
So,
and that's
so.
Where, that's what I'm getting to
True.
Because, yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I correct myself. Most.
You are so wrong.
At least professionally, yes, you would hope
right.
so. But that's what I'm getting to is they both came out afterwards and said, hey, we're like brothers. It's not that big of a deal. Even Bryce Harper said, I don't really care. So to me, you can
not going
to
be on the team anymore.
Yeah. You can overreact, which is what I did the first time I saw it. And then I learned more information and I thought, you know what? It's just like a dad and his kid. They'll figure it out on their own and they'll figure out the best situation or the best way to handle the situation and address it going forward. But like you said, Jonathan Papelbon is a Bishop Kenny alum. He was in my chemistry class. I was a sophomore. He was a junior.
Was he a jerk?
Or maybe I was a junior. He was a senior either way.
Yes.
And as I've admitted before, I'm kind of a book smart person, like book nerd. And so he, you know, asked for help. And
I
regrettingly say that I thought he was cute at the time. And so I was like, well, yeah, I'll
he's a
help
good-looking
you.
Kid until he
yeah.
opened his mouth.
And he was never a jerk. But so I did help him a little bit. I never was that girl who, like, gave people the answers. That
right.
was never going to be my style. But I
we
did
would
try
never
to.
Be friends.
Yeah, no. I like kidding. People would approach me in high school and, you know, like be like, hey, can I just cheat off you? And I'd be like, absolutely not.
No.
Like, I will now like surround my papers
right.
with
right.
my arms. And I was that person. But
you
no,
know,
that's what saddens me is that
yeah.
how can you go from we were raised in the same school for the most part? How can you go from that to
but
being
that
a complete and total jerk?
Because think of all the money that he's making. Money changes people.
Mm-hmm. Sadly
I think,
true.
But I think he's honestly been unhappy since he left
yeah.
Boston. He wasn't a big deal.
Totally
to
agree
to the Philly
with you.
Fans. And then they started to stink. He went from, I am God, for the Red Sox to...
to being truly badly by Philly fans, yeah. Which they've been known to do.
So I think he is unhappy, and when it comes unhappy, depression can sink in.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, there's an element, too, of going from being unknown in a market. You get to go around to different shops and restaurants, and you have all this money, but no one recognizes you.
Right.
To then, one, when you are a little bit bigger of a dog, it becomes much more of an issue that you have to deal with. And especially, I know he's married with kids, and so that may then change his everyday perspective of where he lives. And,
right.
And that can, especially if you're in a paparazzi market, that can really get to your... inner being, I guess I would say. I've always said I would never want, I would always love the money of a famous person. I would never want the notoriety that someone like Brad Pitt has. I would never want to live with that, where people know where I live and there has to be bodyguards. And
every time you walk out the door, think about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Well,
everywhere she goes, there are like mobs of cameras around.
Even this past weekend, I went to the 9 a.m. service, but Tim Tebow went to the later service at my church, and he had to have a bodyguard. Like I said, I wasn't there, but I heard that he had to have a bodyguard there. A friend of mine said that she saw him with his family and a bodyguard present. And, you know, you think like, wow, you even need that in church. But of course you do.
Yeah.
You need it everywhere you go.
Public place.
Absolutely. I would never want to live with that. Okay. So, Papelbon, you know what? You'll probably not
there's a time and a place.
Finish your career as well esteemed as you should have. And you know what? That's because of your personality. But hopefully you learned those lessons in high school, and apparently you did not. You know what we have not gotten to, ladies? Studs and duds for the week. I know y'all have been patiently waiting for this segment of the show, as have the listeners. So, Donna, we're going to start with you. Who is your stud for the week?
So I think I kind of go out of the box each time.
You do.
And that's okay, right?
You do.
When we say
last
studs
time
and duds,
you chose Honda.
Yeah, this is not a fantasy studs and duds. This is a whatever your stud and dud is.
That was for their TV.
As long as it's not your boss.
I know, but still.
which, hey, I loved my Honda Civic. That was a fantastic car.
Oh, that was
Honda.
My first car.
See?
It was a great car.
It wasn't my first car. It was my second car. You always get a lemon for a first car.
Right.
Oh, no. Mine was great. I had one oil change in 3 years and ran like a champ.
What?
See? Yeah.
My lemon was my second car.
Oh, that's weird. I always thought a lemon was your first car.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Depends.
Anywho, my stud this week, I am not going with the NFL. I am going with golf. My stud this week. I'm sorry, Lauren.
The one and only.
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, you're fine.
For a 22-year-old.
To make $22
million. To make $22 million in one season is so impressive. And to be, it seems, I hope it doesn't change, it seems like he is so down to earth. Just the guy, I know they always say the girl next door, the guy next door, just a humble family upbringing, just a wonderful guy that, and this hasn't, my family and I were talking about it with NASCAR. Once Gordon leaves, once Tony Stewart leaves, which he's now leaving, you have Junior and that's it. You have Junior and that's it. No one that's really like, I love this guy, I love this driver. Tiger left and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because here comes Spieth. Here's Day. It's just, here's Fowler. It's so great. And so my stud is obviously Jordan Spieth.
Well, and he hadn't played the 2 weeks prior to that. So that was, to me, the more exciting part is that he was able to come back and, like, take that mental stuff and be like, you know what? I got this. All right, Blythe?
I'm going to go with Mr. Carson Palmer, QB for the Arizona Cardinals. Through three games, they're plus 77 points, which is the best since the merger.
Yeah, you know, when you see a headline that says, who's the best team in the NFL, Patriots or Cardinals? You know you're doing something right.
Yeah. It's really brilliant. He has 9 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Almost 1,000 yards already.
The Cardinals are scary, man.
Yeah.
Cardinals
and they started
scary.
Out strong last year. They're playing in a you know,
you can't
sort of weak NFC or NFC West.
If you guys are ever, and I've learned this from my parents, if you're ever in a, you know, bet them for the weekend, whatever, you know, you make your picks, the pick 'em, you never pick against Arizona at home. Never. You can't. It is so impossible for them to lose at home.
Well, I've heard a lot of interesting arguments that Carson Palmer could be on the same level as Tom Brady if it wasn't for his stops and bad coaching in Cincinnati and Oakland. So now that he's back and he's you know sort of healthy this year, and knock on wood, but he's playing good, playing strong. Plus 77 points.
I like your stud.
Thanks.
I wonder if the Bengals regret losing him.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bengals.
Oh, what a segue.
Are you going to pick a Nissan Maxima?
You are
what?
Welcome.
No, I'm going to pick an actual NFL player.
That's Andy Dalton.
What?
Andy Dalton. Yeah, what about him?
Oh, no, he's That's called the Nissan Maxima.
Oh, I thought you were, like, talking about an actual car. No, I was like, really?
Why do they call him that?
Colin Cowherd famously says he's a Nissan Maxima
because
he's not exciting.
Because he's just so blah. Have you seen his supposed, like, pump-up speech? Someone has commented, like, that wouldn't even get me excited to go to bed.
It's brilliant.
We don't, in theory, you don't want to be excited.
I know, but like,
no, I'm just
the
kidding.
Point
well, it depends
is,
on yeah. who you're going to bed with.
Oh, not Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Love you, husband.
He's married with a kid.
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo for Amanda.
My stud is wide receiver AJ Green. Mm. He had 10 catches for a career high 227 yards and two touchdowns, including an 80 yard touchdown reception.
How many points
so
is that for fantasy?
You and I aren't that good at math, but we can easily tell you that that's 22.7 yards per catch.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Did you know that ahead of time, or did you just...
She yeah. said 10 catches for 227 oh. yards.
But still, I don't even think I'd be able to figure that out.
Yeah. Really?
I'm
yeah.
still...
Like, you just moved yeah. the decimal
like,
point.
How did you do that?
Oh, my God.
What are numbers?
All right, I'll throw out my stud, and no one in here is going to be surprised. I'm going with Antonio Callaway, the game-winning touchdown. Well, I mean, it became the game-winning touchdown because Tennessee missed that field goal twice, sort of. But, yeah, 4th and 13, he goes 63 yards from quarterback Will Greer, and he saves the day for my Gators and crushes those Florida State, as Frank called them, Nolan Tears.
That was the first time I've ever heard that, and it's so funny. That's
yeah,
the only
funny.
Time I'll ever be a Nolan Tear, by the way. Why would I ever?
And that's, I think,
again?
Kind of his point is, like, you're only a Tennessee
that.
Fan because,
right.
yeah. But,
right.
you know, whatever.
What,
it,
does that, what does that make us, like, Sox fans? We root for anybody but the Yankees.
Right.
Like,
so mean? You're, depending on who you're playing, like, you could be the Sox Yets.
Speaking of.
Like, yeah, Mets, Sox Mets, I don't
no.
know.
Yankees
Sox
Yets doesn't really work.
Anyway, we're going, you know what? That was a dud. We're going to come back with our duds from this past week, and you're listening to Helmets and Heels Built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Where's all my soul sisters? Let me hear your flow sisters. Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister, oh.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I'm gonna go.
I don't care how old this is, and I don't think 2008 is old, but I love this.
I have to sing because I sang a little bit Thursday night on the Cole Haynes show along with Frank Frangie. During our Thursday night rush, and Steve Griffin texted me, please never sing again on
wait,
air. So
wait, did you just say that came out in 2008?
2008.
There's no way because
I don't
because
think
you
so.
Are
it says released 2008.
What?
Oh, maybe Moulin Rouge. Yeah, that's what it says on here.
No,
Google
I remember
stink.
I was in fifth grade.
Google stinks. It's
and I made up a dance to this song with my
2001. Friends. 2001.
Yeah. Then Google Play Music Now. You are wrong.
I knew it. Anyway, please continue.
So as soon as we get to our duds, right after that, you know what I cannot forget to get to because I'm really excited about is our childhood crushes.
What?
Thanks to a little topic about, yeah, our childhood crushes. That was on our rundown, D-Murph.
Oops, I didn't read it.
Well, while the other three of us are giving our duds, you can be researching.
No, I know
your...
one, right? That's easy.
All right, perfect. Okay. Your duds for the week. I'm going to go the opposite way. Amanda, gorgeous, gorgeous. No, I'm not going to go with you. You look like you're researching. No, you're ready?
No,
okay.
We're good.
Sounds good.
We're good. My dud is Colin Kaepernick because
ooh, yeah.
he's just,
awful.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just not good. He threw 4 interceptions. 2 of them were pick sixes.
I thought you
it's almost as if he developed like a beer gut in the off season because he used to have, you know, like such a great six pack and now he's not playing well. So that should almost
so
like go along with
beer
it.
Gut. Yeah. I mean, I hope that he
like you need a reason, right?
To look good, but he needs to play better.
All right. BB, Blythe Brumleave.
I'm going to go with Chuck Pagano.
Chuck Pagano.
I was kind of thinking of chicken parmesan. I'm a little hungry.
Which,
so
speaking
great.
Of that, thanks to Stan again
Stan.
For bringing us food. Thank you. Always have to,
thanks,
of
Stan.
Course,
make sure he gets his recognition.
But yeah, he gave a little heartfelt speech after they beat the Titans narrowly and called the win the greatest win ever, or the biggest win ever. So if you Google Chuck Pagano post-game speech, it comes up and it's hilarious.
Is that before or after he said, I don't see myself here next year?
That was the week after, right? The week after. Right? I'm like, give me a break, dude.
My dud goes to a whole team, and that team would be the Miami Dolphins.
Woo!
Dud. Sorry, in-laws, but yes. Wow. Ryan Tannehill, I'm sorry.
Sorry, in-laws.
You are just, yeah.
His garbage. His
QBR was 11.7.
Ooh. My favorite vine from the weekend came from that lady flipping off the Miami Dolphins. She did it in like a circuitous motion, you know? It was like, yeah, in Blind Center Spirit Animal. Not that I necessarily think you should flick off people in public, but
I do.
But it was funny.
Maybe while driving.
That's the worst time to do it. Yeah.
No, I hate when people flick me off. I don't even do anything.
You probably did something.
But I didn't.
You are a woman driving, right?
You're probably driving in the left lane when you're not supposed to or something. I get furious when people
do that. Do you do this, though, and I feel bad?
Quickly.
We all.
Oh, no. It wasn't that.
We are all females, but do you always... Oh, of course it's a girl. Do you do that when you're
No, I immediately jump to, are they on their phone? Man or woman, child or old person, are you on your phone? And 99% of the time that they're not doing something they're supposed to be doing, they're on their phone. Including me.
I immediately go for the first insult that comes to mind. It doesn't matter who. Male, female, it doesn't matter.
You know, it's so funny. I was just talking about this with someone, and I don't remember who it was. But first of all, something that I have to work on, I'll admit, is not road rage, but I always yell at people in my car.
Yes.
But you know what I've thought of before? You wouldn't, if you were standing in line and like someone was in your way and you had to move over to go to the bathroom or something, you wouldn't yell at them. You would just like walk around them because you see them. But when you're driving, you don't know the person in the car. You don't know what they look like. You don't know like if they're old, if they're young, whatever. So you just assume that they're so stupid. They have no idea what they're doing. Get out of my way. I need to move. But if you saw them in person, you would never, ever react that way. No. Why do we
Unless
do
you're
that?
At an amusement park.
No cussies, man.
No cussies. By the way, I know you guys have been waiting patiently for me that my dud is Brett.
Sorry.
My dud is Brett Bielema, head coach of Arkansas Razorbacks.
He's still
they
head
lost
coach, huh?
They lost in overtime to Texas A&M.
Oh,
we watched that game.
Man.
It's really, I would say the quarterback, Brandon Allen, is really the dud, but I don't ever want to give it to an actual college player. You know, they're usually trying their hardest other than, of course, Johnny Manziel. But yeah, so road rage could be a whole nother segment, Amanda. That's a good one. I'm definitely the person who I don't yell necessarily at people, but I will do that whole, and I got this from my dad and I used to yell at him for doing it. And now I've like indoctrinated it into my driving, which is terrible. I do the whole, like when you do go to go around them, you do that stare.
You look at them,
like, come on, what are you doing? You know? And like, they're just driving.
Right.
They don't really care because they're in Main Street Jacksonville or the main roads of Jacksonville. Like, the left lane is not really like the passing lane, you know?
It is.
But you're like, come on.
Yes,
no,
it
I
is.
Agree, but that's not how they think, obviously.
Well, they should learn.
Then they need to get off the cruise and move over. Get off your cruise and move over. Look, I am so bad because I get it from my dad. My husband drove with my dad this weekend. He goes, oh my God, you guys are just alike. You are yelling at everybody and everything. And I'm horrible. And we're bad in the passenger seat because I will reach over and honk that horn even if I'm not driving.
Oh, my
that
God.
That person deserves
I never honk the horn. My mother taught me when I was young because she wanted to honk the horn one time. She's like, no. She's like, you never know if somebody has a gun in the car. They're going to turn
around.
Oh, my
gosh. Well, that's why I won't flick somebody off and I won't roll down the window and slow down or tail them. I won't do anything like that that would bring on, I think. But,
but
you'll if
honk
you
the
cut
heck
me
out
off,
that horn.
You deserve a honk.
Well, what else is the horn for? Exactly.
No, I just think it's fantastic that you reach over and honk. Like, you are not being aggressive enough behind the wheel of the car.
The last time I did it, TJ swatted my arm off. No. But he deserves a honk. And then we started laughing afterwards.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's fantastic. I've never heard of someone doing that before. I feel like that could be, like, cause for a
Don't have me be a passenger in your car.
Trust me. From the way it sounds, I think we could all ride with each other and we'd be fine. We would not be the slow car. All right, childhood crushes. J.J. Watt recently tweeted about the fact that he was taking a picture with M.C. Slater.
A.C. Slater,
yeah.
Like, who is M.C. Slater?
Yeah, A.C. Slater. Well,
from Saved by the Bell.
We just saw M.C. Wale, and so I've got all this in my head, okay? And so AC Slater, and by the way, AC Slater's arms looked pretty good in comparison to JJ Watt's, I thought.
He hasn't aged a day.
No, not at all. And so JJ put hashtag where is Kelly Kapowski, and then she put on Instagram a photo of the JJ Watt picture. What was it? Men's health. Okay. And so that started a whole string in a conversation of childhood crushes, because JJ Watt had a childhood crush on Kelly Kapowski.
What guy didn't?
Exactly. And probably what girl didn't want to be her,
yeah, right?
Yeah. So, Donna, who would be, you said you thought of one right away. Who would be your childhood crush that you want to meet?
Jonathan Brandis, but he's no longer.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, he was, I had.
JTT, right?
No, well, and him too.
Okay.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Jonathan Brandis.
Oh, that's right. They're different people.
Brandis.
Why do you like, you like Jays? That's your thing.
I don't know.
Interesting.
He used to be, Panda Bear remembers.
Sorry,
he was part of Never Ending Story 2.
Yes, now I remember.
Okay. Ladybugs.
Yes,
for some reason, I know Hacker loves that movie.
That's weird. I loved Ladybugs, but I played soccer as a girl. Yeah. So.
I was huge fan. You know, when you get all those, I don't even know if those magazines exist anymore. Teen Bop
no,
and what?
They don't. You could buy one and cover your room in posters.
Yes.
Loved
all it was. Yeah. Posters of JTT and Jonathan Brandis. I'm like, oh my God, look at my boys.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Did you ever write any letters to them?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know.
I definitely wrote a letter to my childhood crush that we've talked about him before.
Did they respond?
In that, the Teen Bop one. Of course not. No.
Aww.
No. Blythe, who
was
yours?
Oh my gosh, I had so many.
you still do.
JTT, yep. For sure. Devin
Sawa.
I never knew how to say
Sawa. Devin Sawa from Little Giants. Oh.
Like Wawa.
Devin Sawa.
Him, Hansen.
Really?
I really liked Hansen. Like, Hansen was...
Amanda, do you know who Hansen is?
I know who Hansen is. I don't know who the last guy is.
Devin Sawa. Have you ever seen Little Giants?
Maybe.
Google him.
You'll recognize him.
And Harrison Ford. He's the one and only for several years running now.
That's awesome. Is it because of...
Yeah, Devin Sawa.
My favorite movie as a kid, I used to invite my girlfriends over for sleepovers, and I would make them watch Temple of Doom.
Really?
And during the part where he's like ripping the heart out, like all the kids, like all the girls would run out of the room because they would scream because they thought it was so gross. I'm like, no, you gotta come watch it.
That's surprising. I thought you would have been a Star Wars.
Star Wars was a little bit before my time, so it took. I was
Harrison Ford is a bit before your time.
No. Indiana Jones, because back in the day, McDonald's had an Indiana Jones promotion. So if you bought a certain meal, then you would get a VHS tape. Of an Indiana Jones movie. So we did that regularly, got all the movies, and I watched them over and over and over again.
That's awesome.
And still to this day, like, my cover photo on Twitter is Han Solo Harrison Ford, and catch myself staring at it for a little longer than I should.
That's adorable.
But he's so... There's nobody that comes close. Even him at 80 years old. I'm still available, Harrison.
Wow.
He's not 80 yet.
No, he's like 77, 76.
He is?
Yeah.
What?
I thought he was late 60s.
Yeah. Nah.
Ooh, right, 70s. Bookworms,
gotta look it up.
Amanda, your childhood crush is now at the age of 25. Let's hear it.
Childhood crush last week.
Yeah, a couple months ago. No, I'm just joking.
He's 73.
73?
73.
He can still get it.
We were in between.
That's so gross. Get it.
No, I'm right. Robert Redford, yum.
Oh, my gosh.
And Tom Hanks for you. All right,
okay, no, not that way.
When I was a little girl, I was a... boy band fan girl.
Which
and
one?
My band was Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yes.
You picked the wrong one.
And
well, that was mine too.
Hey, at least you didn't say 98 degrees.
No, yeah. I didn't like it. Yeah. No, in my prime, so like 9 to 13. It was like you had to pick NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
Yes,
like you just
had
picked.
To.
And for whatever reason, I had the group of friends. We all liked Backstreet Boys, and we'd fight over Nick Carter because Nick Carter was just
now he looks like trash.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as I grew older, it doesn't really move the needle for me. However, when I was younger, we would like fantasize about what our children would look like the whole nine.
Did you go to a concert, a Backstreet Boys concert?
You know, no, I never went.
Because you were,
my mom never
quote unquote, in your prime, way too young. That's why I did, by the way.
I couldn't drive.
I missed a soccer game in high school because my best friend convinced me that we should go. I had never missed anything.
Oh.
And we went, and even while it was going on, I kind of looked around and I was like, this is way too girly for me.
Not me.
I'll live it up for tonight, but I can't do this again. And I, yeah, since then I've never been to a concert anywhere remotely as
No, I
silly
never
as
did.
That.
I had their CDs. We
oh
made up.
My, gosh.
My thing when I was little was to make up dances to songs.
Okay.
I always did that with my friends. Always. And we would take my parents' video camera and videotape us, like making up like a choreographed dance to like every single Backstreet Boys song. So we never awesome. Did anything with it because there wasn't Facebook or anything, obviously, but we would watch it. And
I would have been friends with you.
Did you guys
yeah,
see
y'all
the performance?
Been.
It was like Justin Timberlake got that Lifetime Achievement Award from the VMAs,
no.
and he had
no.
that brief reunion with NSYNC.
No!
Yes, and it was so yes. I was screaming at my yeah. TV. I was so excited. And
you were team NSYNC?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100 degrees.
I liked NSYNC. I wasn't like...
She says 100
oh,
degrees.
Not 98 degrees.
Does that make sense? I don't know if it does.
Yeah.
But as soon as like they came on and they performed for like 30 seconds together and
That's
then NSYNC
cool.
fades behind and Justin Timberlake keeps going, there's this girl who sent out a tweet and she was like, Do you see Backstreet Boy fans how wrong you were all along?
All along.
In high school is when they first started to become popular when I was in high school and okay. it was before I could drive. So my mom, my friend's mom would be the driver and then there'd be three of us in the Ford Explorer back yep. before they exploded. And we would literally like
oh my
have,
gosh.
We, they used to be called Ford Exploders.
Oh, I had
So they literally, we would have like points of, you know, the song. So everyone had a part.
Yes.
So we'd be jamming out with all the windows down Beach Boulevard. And, it, you know, we'd all point at the person when
oh
it was
God.
Their part. It
I
was,
never want kids.
Whatever. She had a blast. We also did that with Queen and a lot of like
oh,
the Bohemian Rhapsody
okay.
and songs like Bicycle. Oh yeah, we loved
That's
it.
That's what I grew up on.
So who's your crush?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I have two. Val Kilmer. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the movie Willow from the
That's
80s,
scared.
Early
that
80s.
Actually scared me.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, no. I didn't watch it all the way through.
My brother and I, my parents used to take us to Blockbuster every week. And instead of my parents buying the movies, instead we rented them every
I
week.
Did too.
I don't understand why.
Because it was fun.
I guess.
You could go look at all of them and pick which
yeah, but
one
we,
and
my
then
brother
you
and
bring
I
it back.
The same ones every single
oh.
week for like 2 years straight. Oh. He picked Willow or Labyrinth and I picked The Goonies. For literally like 2 years straight, I'm like, Mom, Dad, you guys could have like afforded our colleges
right.
based off of how much we spent at Blockbuster. But so speaking of The Goonies, my other one, Brand Walsh was his name in the movie. Josh Brolin is actually who it is in real
yeah.
life. Yeah. And so
he's yeah, he
really attractive.
Very well.
He has. And you know, he was married to Diane Lane for a long time and I think 11 years and then they got divorced. But anyway, so those are my two. And if you look them up, they're both, you know,
yeah,
still very attractive people.
Like
so
Harrison
it's way Boy. Better. Yeah. It's way better than those ones where you're like, oh,
ooh,
gosh.
Yeah.
yeah. But anyway, huh, that was an exciting segment. I'm still thinking
now we're
about
gonna,
like.
Now we're going to go bye, bye, bye.
Exactly. All right. So,
anybody?
And by the way, yeah, bye, bye, bye. Oh, wait, I said I wouldn't sing.
No,
dang it.
But see?
Said I wouldn't.
Look the song you're singing. Look
all right.
One all along.
We have an injury update next segment to get to, brought to you by Fair and Fair. We also want to talk about how vocal a player's wife should be. We certainly feel like we are some vocal women, so we will share our thoughts on that as we return. You're listening to Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XN on 82.5 FM.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, now on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Yes, we're back. Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. However,
Backstreet's back, baby.
All I asked was, God,
hallelujah.
Play NSYNC.
Look who won.
This trash.
Look who won. The best part about
trash.
It is, okay, so for those who can't see us, there's two of us on one side of the entire
Wait,
giant countertop.
No one can see us, for the record.
No, Scott and Tony can see us.
Okay, but
no, but, we're not on camera right now.
For those
well, she
who
said, for those who can't see us, like there are people in here with us.
For
watching.
Those who have never seen a picture or any video of us in here, Blythe and Donna are on one side of this giant counter, and Amanda and I are on the other side. Blythe and Donna happen to be the NSYNC people.
The
Amanda
ones.
And I happen to be the Backstreet Boys people. The best part is the moment the song starts playing, both of them make overt, like, shrugs and, like, noises, and we're both excited. It's that instantaneous that we all knew the song immediately
oh,
and who
yeah.
played it, even
Scott
though some of us haven't
right
heard it in a long
time.
Time.
Hey, I'm not
oh,
a...
Oh, Scott's doing a great
I'm
job.
I'm not a
what
Backstreet hater. I'm not.
No, but there's a clear, very clear divide on which one is better and which one isn't.
Well, one produced, you know, one of the best artists in Justin Timberlake.
And I don't argue that. I liked both. I just loved Backstreet Boys a little more. That's all. It's probably the Nick Carter thing, you know. I was just biased.
We're all wrong when we're younger. It's okay to admit it.
We're all wrong.
By the way, the fact that none of us mentioned Justin Timberlake as a childhood crush kind of surprised me.
He's a given, I feel
shame
like.
Shame on
He's
us.
A given.
Yeah, but I wasn't a child with him.
I was a woman.
And I was more of a teenager. I'm thinking what childhood crush like when you're 10.
I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
You know? I'm thinking teenager. If you're going to go teenage crush, then that's a whole completely different topic.
Oh, shoot. Well, we'll say that for another time.
So, I do want to say
yes,
a big thank you. Lulu DK. You got to go on this website. It's called Lulu DK, L-U-L-U-D-K, in case you don't know Lulu. Lulu DK. We have got, and we saw this online, and they are personalized. They can do them for each sport, each NFL team, personalized tattoo jewelry.
Yeah, artist-made flash tattoos, and they can do it for colleges, too.
Colleges. So right now we all have our Jaguar stuff. I tweeted it out last week when we got them in the mail. Teal colors, gold colors. It's just so cool.
All
different bracelets you can put on or however you want to. It's, you know.
Accessorize your body.
Yeah, wherever you deem necessary. But they look so cool and so exciting. But it's so beautiful online. You know, when you look at the different regular...
Do they have ideas of how you can
they
put
do.
Them on? Cool.
They do. It's really pretty. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea.
It is a great idea because, you know, you want to get dressed up. You want to... It's especially with Blythe, a lot of it is fashion, you know.
Right.
Getting with the game.
She's
right?
The only one who's fashionable.
Lauren and I are just not fashionista.
Well, you are a Backstreet Boy fan, so...
I came tonight in my pajamas, so clearly fashion is not high on my list, so... but, yeah... So they have jewelry and all different things, but they're all tattoos and
like metallic tattoos. Like they're really, really cute. And for somebody like myself, I don't have any tattoos.
Right.
So to put something like that on and, you know.
And it's temporary. Yeah. You can wash it off.
Exactly. And instead of going and wearing bracelets and wearing earrings.
I just realized that none of us have any tattoos.
I do.
Oh, that's right. You do.
Oh.
That's right. I forgot.
I do.
On your
do.
Foot. That's right. I forgot.
That would be Amanda in case somebody didn't realize who that was.
But yeah, no. So it's a super fun way. Go on their website. You can pick out both college, both NFL teams that you want. If you have multiple across the board.
I love these.
They look absolutely stunning on, especially for us Floridians with a little bit of tan skin. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait. I've purchased some gator ones, which...
Are they orange?
They're orange and blue, obviously. I wish I had purchased them before this week. Now that I may be going to the Florida Ole Miss game.
You should
Saturday
put
night.
Them on your face.
Really cool. Give you directions.
Because my face needs the help.
No, I have seen some girls that put a couple flash tats on their face and it looks really cute. If it's done tastefully, it's more of like a hippie thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I probably won't do that.
Google the pictures first.
I can see what you're saying. I don't think that would look great on me. Like, I'm probably the person who would probably first put eye black on before I put any flash tats on my forehead. But definitely on my arms. I mean, that's why you work out, right? Like, show off the arms.
Yeah, like, do your bicep.
Like, someone commented to Amanda one time.
Yep.
Nice delts, lady.
I had to ask what a delt was, by the way.
That shows
not
how much
delta.
She's been working those out. Okay. Speaking of women and some things that women will say, Miko Grimes, the wife of Dolphins cornerback Brent Grimes, was flagged for disorderly conduct, battery, and resisting arrest following a nasty pregame altercation with the cops this past Sunday. The cops said that Grimes ignored multiple requests from officers ordering her to get out of a restricted area before they ultimately had to use force to subdue her. And I kind of giggled as I was saying that. Not that any of that's funny, except for the fact that when you look up her mugshot, it's in her Dolphins jersey. And that's the only part that I was like, as the wife of a player, like, at least, like, at the last second, like, have on, like, a tank top underneath or something and, like, strip it off. So
she's a radio personality, too. She has her own radio show in Miami.
Oh.
And I'm weirded out because my dog's name is Miko. And he's a boy. So as soon as I read this, I was like, no.
Miko.
Miko.
I just can't take her seriously. Like, Miko, my dog is this little black fluffy dog.
Oh, no.
D'Amico. Keep digging.
No, that's her real name.
The article that I read, it was Miko. No.
Miko is one of her
aliases, nicknames.
Look, Tamiko Grimes.
Okay, so yeah.
Right. So her name is Tamiko, and her nickname is Miko, aka my dog. I'll tweet a picture of my dog because he's super cute. So I obviously couldn't take this seriously because Miko.
I did not know that's where this story and topic were going to go.
I'm sorry, how often derailed? It's not like my dog's name is Fluffernutter, which is like
a great sandwich.
Crazy name.
My dog's name is Carson. We mentioned Carson Palmer.
I know, I was going to bring that up.
I got through that segment, okay.
I know, you're right, I'm sorry.
Good Carson, you're throwing those touchdowns. Bad Miko,
well, you're
bad
the name,
Miko.
You're the one that named your dog after Carson Palmer.
I did not, absolutely not.
But that was the point of it. I named my dog after Miko, who's in Pocahontas. Not Miko Grimes.
Which, oh no, it was Aladdin, never mind. I was going to say...
Abu.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say a recent NFL player, Sergio Brown, said that his favorite movie was Aladdin. It was Aladdin. It wasn't Pocahontas. I got him confused.
Right. Quickly. I met Aladdin at Disney World. And I was starstruck.
Just derailed this topic. I know. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I apologize. Let's get back on this.
I think we've said all we need to say. Bad Miko. How vocal should an NFL wife be? In this case,
well,
you aren't supposed to be vocal to cops. They're the ones influencing everyone's behavior and trying to protect you. It's completely different than what
different
she's doing.
She's going like cuckoo, crazy, nutso, psycho.
Yeah. She's an NFL wife, but she also has her own radio show. She's very outspoken as far as the NFL is concerned with concussions, with domestic violence. So she has a great platform, and a lot of her viewpoints are really, really strong. I follow her on various social media accounts, and I actually really like her. But I heard this story, and I'm like, that doesn't. I mean, it kind of sounds like maybe she's in a privileged role with the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And what kind of happened is that she was walking through a police barricade, and the police were yelling at her from afar, and she didn't listen to them and just kept walking.
Oh.
So I think it's sort of like that. You know, I'm around this team all the time.
Sure.
I can sort of, you know, I'll walk wherever I want. Like they don't know what they're doing. So I think maybe that was kind of the mindset that was going on. But the police officers didn't know who she was, and so they subdued her. And apparently she, I don't know if she did it on purpose, but she reared her head back, and they called it headbutting. Resisting arrest. I mean, obviously, if you've seen the video that's gone viral, she was cursing a lot. And I don't know. I think that there's more to the story that we know, but I think a lot of the backlash is a lot of people have not liked her being so outspoken. So as soon as this happened, it was sort of, well, you know, she got what she deserved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little unfair.
I remember years ago when Kurt Warner's wife got bashed for being outspoken. This was before social media, you know? So who knows what would have happened after that. But I don't know, man. You're a wife. You should... And I'm not saying that's your place. You know, I'm not saying your place is in the kitchen. I'm not saying that at all. I just think there's a time and a place. And, you know, ever since Giselle spoke out a couple years ago with Brady, you don't hear from her anymore. You just... You know, I think this is all in the Dolphins. The Dolphins should have said, you need to quiet. You need to stay and just quiet.
She's paid to have an opinion. She's paid to be a voice. That we talked about this off air, that Mike Freeman wrote. He's a Bleacher Report writer, but he wrote an extensive article about her and talked about her various viewpoints and how she's really like shakes up the status quo in the NFL. And I think... to hear that aspect of things is a little interesting. I mean, she says that she texts her husband at halftime and he checks her text in the middle of the game. Like, she'll tell him to ignore the coaches, go after the ball. And he's done that, and it's actually been for the betterment of his career.
And that's completely, completely different than obeying authority.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's the thing that kind of I feel like is a kick in the where the sun doesn't shine for her husband. They just lost 41-14. He now has to face the media, and they've got microphones in his face, cameras in his face going, your wife just got arrested. How do you feel about that? Your wife just got arrested. What are your thoughts on that? Like,
he's dealing with something professionally that he doesn't really even want to talk about, and now you're throwing his personal life into it, and that's what I had an issue with, more so than even you should be respectful of authority.
I wonder if he found out before the game. Like, because she was arrested before the game
started.
You mean
she didn't text him at the time? I'm being arrested.
Come save me.
Yeah, good question.
You have to post my $10,000 bond.
That part, I don't know. But, you know, in the end, I work at a college. I have an all-access pass. I can go all around, right, at UNF? The first time I see an officer, I would always defer to his authority, right, whether or not he right. knows exactly where he's going or what he's doing, because that is the first responder 9 times out of 10, unless there's maybe like a physician on staff or something like that.
And this happened at a game, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was walking
trying
to walk into the stadium
right.
and went around a police barricade.
So during a game, a police officer's job is to keep people safe, and you
exactly.
have no idea what that person is capable of. Yes, she was just a player's wife, and she was going to where she was allowed to be, whatever, but the officer didn't know that.
Right.
All she had to do was say, oh, hey, I have this pass, or whatever, and everything would have been fine. But these days, no one can assume that people are going in innocently.
Right.
Right. Like on JAG Sundays, when you're out in the parking lot tailgating and there's a special media entrance, if there was a cop posted up there and said, ma'am, you can't go through, you wouldn't just go, I work for
right.
with the Jags.
Right.
You don't know what you're talking about. You would never do that. You would go, oh, I'm sorry. I usually come in here. Should I go somewhere else? I do have a pass.
Right.
You know, and you'd be respectful.
Right.
So that's
right.
my bottom line. All right. Coming up next, we will check with Fat Tony on what is going on in his world. Maybe ask him one of his childhood crushes. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Founders Homes on 1010XL 92.5 FM.